Will you bow your heads with me as we approach our God in heaven? Almighty King of the universe, Lord, today we want to know who you are. We want to know how you view us. And Lord, we want to be like you. So speak to us right now. Send your Spirit to be here in our hearts. Right at this time is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Anybody here like to play games? Like board games? Yeah. Now, there are some games that we play that in order to win, you have to get behind your opponent. The prime example is checkers. Anybody like checkers? Have you played that in a while? It's a fun game, but if you get to the opponent's side of the board, if you get behind their pawns, their men, you get kinged, and then all of a sudden you can hop all over the place. You can win. I remember years ago, my first experience going to camp meeting here at the Kansas, Nebraska Conference, and I was working in the early teen division, still learning about Seventh-day Adventists. And after we had our talk, the leaders said, "All right, kids, do you want to go and play Capture the Flag?" And everybody said, "Yay, Capture the Flag! All right, let's do Capture the Flag!" And I was like, "Yay, Capture the Flag! Okay, let's do Capture..." I had no idea what Capture the Flag was. I'm still learning. But it's a game where you split up into sides and you have to get onto behind your opponents, run past them without being touched, grab the flag, and then get back to your side again without being touched. One of the best ways to defeat your opponent many times is to get behind them, to go behind enemy lines. It's also one of the riskiest, most dangerous, and life-threatening ways to fight a war. For it's far easier to stay in your castle or in your dugout and just shoot at your opponent. But to go behind enemy lines, it takes risk, courage, and sacrifice. This weekend, we pause to remember those who fought for our country. We pause to remember those who paid for our freedom with their courage and their lives. We remember those brave men and women who, when called upon in our world's time of need, they answered the call. They served and fought to protect freedom, the freedom that we enjoy today. I would like to pause right now in the midst of this message and recognize those here with us who have served. I'd like to begin, and could we first have those who served in World War II? Could we have you stand at this time? I know there are some of you out there. Would you please stand if you served in World War II? Thank you. Now, could we have those, please remain standing, gentlemen. Please remain standing. Could we have those join them in standing who served during the Korean or Vietnam Wars? Would you stand to your feet? Thank you. Now, any who have served in the Persian conflicts or in the Gulf War recently or over in Afghanistan, would you rise? Now, I would like to invite all who have served our country, whether in wartime or in peace, would you please stand at this time and be recognized? Thank you. And now, please remain standing, and I'd like to invite any who have lost a loved one who died serving our country. If you've lost a loved one, I'd like to invite you to stand at this time, if you've lost a loved one. There are not words enough to thank each and every one of you for what you have done. Thank you. And because there are not words enough, I'd like to invite all of us to stand for just a moment. I'd like to have a moment of silence as we remember the sacrifice of all those brave men and women who put their lives on hold to go into a foreign land and to serve. Let's have a moment of silence right now. Thank you. You may be seated. And now as we think back and we remember, I'd like to give us a chance to watch a short video about those who've gone before and what they have done for us. I'd like to invite you to watch this with me now. There is sound. We're going to try to find that for you just a second. You got it? Ready? Well, you have to love technology, everyone. Seems that it wants to stop right there. All right, then we'll let it rest in peace. We think and we remember. And on a weekend or we get an extra day off from work, we run around and we do the things that we do now. We remember that we can do all those things because others have paid a price for us. So this weekend, I invite you to remember, and at this time, I would like us to remember those who have gone before. I am honored by my family and what they have done for our country. My father and uncle both fought in Vietnam. My cousin serves today in the National Guard. My grandfather fought in World War II. And there are many stories to tell of brave soldiers, and we have those stories here amongst us today. But today, I thought I would share my grandfather's story with you. He doesn't talk much about being in World War II, but every now and then, I can get him to tell the story. He was actually too young for the draft. So he lied about his age so that he could go and enlist. And I think about his age, how old he was when he went to war. And then I think about me when I was 17 and 18. Think about the things that I was concerned about in life. Girls. Grades. Just having fun. My grandpa's concern was for his country. And then for staying alive. Grandpa tells me that at that time he was eager to get in. And then once in, he was eager to get out. My grandpa has a sense of humor. Once he was there, he became part of a special forces unit called Merrill's Marauders. I actually made a movie about these gentlemen. It was an all-volunteer unit. They didn't make you go into this unit. You had to volunteer to be a part of this. In this unit, there were 2,750 marauders who entered India. Their mission was to be a long-range special operations unit and to go behind enemy lines in Burma, India, to fight the Japanese. Once there, the commanding officer told my grandfather that he and everybody there would be lucky if they saw the age of 40. My grandpa tells me that he smiles and grins at me and says, "I more than doubled that guy." The marauders traveled 1,200 miles on foot in the harshest jungle terrain on our planet. More jungle miles than any other army team in World War II. Grandpa shared with me that growing up, his family never went to church. They didn't do what you're doing right now. So he never actually learned to pray. But in the jungles of Burma, with bullets blazing and explosions all around him, with friends dying right by his side, he learned how to pray. He says he made a lot of deals with God when he was over there. He wanted to come home. He wanted to get married. He wanted to have kids. And now he sits with great-grandchildren all around him. And he says God answered all those prayers. The marauders traveled torturous mountain trails where the mules, the animals that they had brought to carry their equipment, would sometimes actually fall off the trail down to the canyon below. That's how treacherous they were. There was one time they were retreating, and they had to retreat for miles on a mountain trail while under heavy fire. Artillery all over them. Over there, they dealt with blood-sucking leeches, contracted typhus, fever, and horrible dysentery. Most of that got so bad that many of them were passing blood while they were walking through the jungles. One marauder said that when he entered India, he was about 148 pounds, which is not that much bigger than me. These guys weren't all Rambos when they went over there, folks. Said he entered at 148. He left Burma at less than 108. There was one day marching along a trail. A medical officer there stopped my grandfather. Grandpa said, "I'm fine. Leave me alone." He said, "Sit down. I'm going to check you out." Checked him out. Grandpa's temperature was 104. He had malaria. The medical officer said, "You're done. Only there's no ambulance to call like you and I would call if we had 104 temperature to rush us to the hospital." He had to wait and had to get taken to this medical unit. When he got there, he contracted typhus on top of the malaria, and his temperature rose to 106. He drifted in and out of consciousness, so he doesn't remember all of this. But when he woke up in a tub filled with ice and called the nurse over and started complaining that he was freezing to death. The nurse started laughing. So she ran over and got the doctor, who came back, and he also started laughing at my grandfather's complaints. He looked at him, he said, "Well, I don't think it's half as funny as you guys do." Until they explained to him that they were hoping that he would start complaining about the cold, because that meant that the fever had broke. He was there for a month or two healing. Once he was better, he was sent back into the jungles to continue the mission. The campaign that they went on, Merrill's Marauders, they spent 7.5 months in combat. 4 months straight in combat, and then with a break, and then 3.5 months after that. Merrill's Marauders was actually a precursor to the Special Forces Ranger units that we have today. They were in 5 major campaigns while over there and 32 combat engagements, many times always outnumbered because they were behind enemy lines. Each surviving soldier of the unit received a bronze star, which is very rare for an entire unit to receive a bronze star. Of the 2,750 who started, when they finished, they had 130 combat effective men left when they disbanded. And of the 2,750 who began this campaign, the number who were never wounded or hospitalized, two. Only two. They went behind enemy lines, suffered unthinkable hardship, and many gave their lives to help win that war. My friends, there's someone else who had to go behind enemy lines in a war. There's someone else who had to go right into the very teeth of the conflict. Someone else who had to risk everything to win a war. There's someone else who had to pay the ultimate sacrifice to save those he loved. If you would open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians is a small book in the New Testament. It's after Ephesians and Galatians, after Romans, the Corinthian books. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Paul's writing to you and to me. And in verse 5 he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross." This war could not be won with only airstrikes coming from heaven. This war, this great controversy, called for close combat. This all-important battle would be fought behind enemy lines. For Jesus left the safety of heaven to come here. If you look at chapter 2, verse 7, it says he made himself of no reputation, or your Bible might say he emptied himself. And that's exactly what he did in order to win this war. He left his God power behind and entered a world that Satan claimed as his home base. And we can see that Satan was willing to fight this war from the beginning. If you grab your Bibles and open it up to Matthew chapter 2 now. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 2. Let's see when this war commences. Satan doesn't wait for the opposition to get ready. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, speaking about Jesus as a child, and Joseph and Mary. It says, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" Satan began the war against a baby. He doesn't fight fair. So don't expect him to fight fair in your life either. And then, right after Christ's baptism, Satan went right after him. And in this war, Satan did not send second in command. I think when Satan deals with me, he's probably got some underlings that he's got stationed about me. But not with Jesus. He went himself. And we see it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Right after Jesus' baptism, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Satan knew that he'd been invaded, and he sought to end the conflict quickly. And you better believe when you get baptized and when you start coming back to the Lord, you better believe he's right there. I wish he'd give up. I wish he'd say, "Oh, well, they got baptized. I'm going to go somewhere else now. I'm going to bother somebody else." But he doesn't. He doesn't give up. But watch what happens in this battle. Jesus' enemies flee before him. Amen? Turn with me to Mark chapter 1, the beginning of Mark's gospel. Look at what he shows us happening when this war starts. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Jesus has been casting out demons. It says, "Then they were amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" They flee at his word. They run when he says run. Christ was taking back what was his in the first place. And the battle wasn't just fought by Jesus. Jesus believed in empowering others to do the work. Amen? Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. We oftentimes think about 12 guys following Jesus around. But in Luke chapter 10, we realize that Jesus empowered 70 people to go out and do ministry. And they come back, and this is the report they give. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. What was the results of fighting that war, that battle? "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.'" Jesus was winning the war, and Satan could not stand. Like those soldiers from World War II and all the other wars, Jesus went behind enemy lines to fight this great controversy. Like those soldiers who fought, he was also wounded, and he just kept going. Like many soldiers who fought and died, Jesus gave his life to win this battle. But unlike those soldiers who fought in wars with the motto, "Never surrender, never give up," unlike those brave soldiers, Jesus surrendered. He won by laying down his life. He won this ultimate war by surrendering to his Father's will. Perhaps the most powerful words ever spoken on this planet were when Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And it's the same thing we have to say every day in our lives. He defeated Satan and a host of demons by giving himself over to them. Jesus took our place, paid the debt that we could not pay to give us what we could not earn ourselves: salvation and freedom from sin. So what does all of this mean for you and I today? The sacrifice and the courage of those soldiers that we remember this weekend, what does it mean? The sacrifice and the love of the greatest warrior ever, our Savior, Jesus Christ, what does it mean for us? If you'll turn with me back to our scripture reading for today, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, this is the key verse in all of this. What do we take from it today? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He says, have the mind of Christ in you. Have his attitude, an attitude of selflessness, a mind of sacrifice. The lives and the deaths of the brave men and women who fought our wars should inspire us to live better. Amen? The life and the death of Jesus Christ should inspire us to live differently today. Amen? Is the mind of Christ in us today? Do we place others above ourselves? Look at the previous verse, verse 4. Introducing this idea of Christ's mind being in us, he says, "Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others." Do we place others above ourselves? Friends, this attitude of sacrifice has to be and should affect all of us. The husband to the wife, the wife to the husband, parents to their children, emptying ourselves for the better of another. Children to their siblings, children to their parents, co-workers to each other, church members to each other, and the faithful of God's people to the community around us. This world we live in tells us, get ahead. That's the world we live in. That's the message we receive every day when we turn on the TV. Get ahead. Do whatever you have to do, even if you have to step on another, even if they're your friend. Get ahead in life. Get ahead. Well, when we remember the sacrifice of those brave soldiers this weekend, their lives and their deaths stand as a witness that there is a better way to live. When we remember the love and sacrifice of Jesus, when we see it again, we realize that there is a better way to live. I would not be here today if it were not for my grandfather. If he had died in that jungle, my mom would have never been born. I would have never been born. Ethan and Johanna would not be here today. But because of his service, because of his sacrifice, I don't want to live just for me. I've done that before. I've lived that life. I know what it leads to. But today I want to live for others. If it were not for my Jesus, I shudder to think about where my life would be today. But because of Christ's love, his service, and his sacrifice, I now want to live for him. With his mind in me, I want to live for others. How about you? This weekend, and always, let us remember what great price has been paid. And may the memory inspire us. May the memory mold us to live differently, to live for Christ and others in our jobs, in our families, in our community. And as those in the past fought to change our world for the better, as Jesus died to save our world, may we now, because it now falls to us, may we now live a life of sacrifice. May we hold others above ourselves. And if we do that, maybe the Lord will use us, even us, to change our world. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we cannot find the words to thank you for what you have done in this world and what you have done in our lives. But thank you, Lord, for not being done with us either. For no matter where we're at in our walk with you today, you want to draw us closer, Lord. Whether we've walked with you all our lives, whether we've just recently been baptized, or whether we're trying to decide, Lord, should I have you in my life at all? Lord, speak to us today. Help us know that there is a better way to live when we're letting your mind in us. We're living for you and for others. Lord, help us this weekend to never forget the sacrifices of the past that give us the freedom we enjoy today. And dear Jesus, may we never, never forget your sacrifice and your power to change us and to mold us into who you want us to be. And all God's children said, Amen.